am I curious about? What am I interested in? What excites me? Just start there. If you can wake up every morning with excitement, you're more willing to work harder on it, take risks at it, and be consistent on it, even when it's hard.
From To Be Magnetic, this is the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips.
And your host, Jessica Gill.
As the leading destination for neural manifestation, we dispel the woo-woo in order to help you create real, tangible results based on neuroplasticity, psychology, epigenetics, and energetics. Our goal is to normalize the practice of manifestation and empower you to get into the driver's seat of your life in order to manifest the experiences, relationships, and things that most align with your authenticity. Part of our manifestation process entails expanding past your limiting subconscious beliefs. Therefore, by tuning into this podcast with interviews from experts, thought leaders, spiritual teachers, scientists, and those with neural manifestation success stories, you're starting the process of expanding your subconscious in order to see to believe that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, the process begins.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Expanded Podcast. Jessica here. Today, we have an incredible episode with New York Times bestselling author, keynote speaker, industry-leading show host of the podcast, The School of Greatness and The Daily Motivation, and former pro athlete, Lewis Howes. In today's episode, Lacey and Lewis really break down and go way back into Lewis's origin story and history. We understand what makes Lewis who he is and how he's transformed some of his life's most painful moments into beautiful lessons. He also talks about how to discover your purpose. What are the pillars of discovering your purpose? And how can you create a company, a brand, a entity in this world from a meaningful mission, and why it's so important to understand why you are driving forward in the things you are doing in this life and in this world. Lewis's story is a clear testament of when we can take our rock bottoms, learn from them, see the lessons, see the gifts, feel through the pain, process through everything coming up, take radical acceptance for it, and learn how to heal ourselves and move forward. We can transform it into some incredible things on the other side and things that impact others in a beautiful, beautiful way. Lewis also talks about his latest book, The Greatness Mindset, which is all of the tools that he has learned to unlock the mindset needed to reach your full potential of purpose and success in this world. And trigger warning for anyone out there, Lewis does share vulnerably about his experience with sexual abuse and sexual assault. So be mindful when listening in. You can check our show notes for the time code when this story is mentioned. And on to the episode.
And now a word from our partners.
So you've probably heard of probiotics. You know they're important to take. Our gut microbiome really impacts every other system in our body. And when it is not functioning properly, it can impact our cardiovascular health, our skin health, our brain health, our heart health, all of the things. So having a high quality probiotic is so, so, so important. And that's why we love partnering with Seed. They're the most science-backed daily symbiotic on the market. They have a 24-strain pre- and probiotic formula that is designed and engineered to survive stomach acid, enzymes, moisture, and heat, which means 100% of the good bacteria that you need to populate your gut with the probiotic is actually reaching it, whereas other products out there, a very small percentage can actually survive in the capsule and through your stomach acid digestive system to reach the part of your body that it needs to support. As someone who has struggled with many gut issues over the year, especially around times of high stress, having a high quality probiotic is a non-negotiable. So first thing in the morning, I pour myself a cup of lemon water and take my two Seed Symbiotic daily capsules. And since we've been partnering with Seed for so long, they have increased the code for all of you because they want to get you with good gut health as soon as possible. So you can use the code TBM and receive 25% off your first month's supply of Seed Symbiotic or their pediatric daily symbiotic, which is for kids from 3 to 17. You can use that code at checkout or go into the show notes and click the link or go to seed.com/TBM. Again, that's seed.com/TBM and the code will be automatically applied at checkout. I've been making a really fun evening ritual around pouring myself a glass of the Ned Mellow Lavender Berry and prepping and doing my To Be Magnetic journaling so in the morning I can wake up and do a DI and process everything that came up through the night. And it really, really supports my TBM practice because the GABA and magnesium help as well with neuroplasticity and creating those new neural pathways of high self-worth. Did you know that magnesium supports over 300 essential functions in the body and over 75% of Americans are actually deficient in this mineral? Some signs of magnesium deficiency could cause poor cognitive functioning, headaches, constipation, digestive disorders, fatigue, physical, mental, emotional fatigue, poor sleep quality, muscle spasms, pain, soreness. And magnesium is needed to help regulate your stress hormones like cortisol, which activate when you are in a fight or flight response. That is why it's so important to supplement with a high quality magnesium like Mellow from Ned. Mellow contains three forms of chelated magnesium that are further complemented with amino acids, L-theanine, and GABA. So it is supporting the mind, body, and brain where it needs it the most. And Ned has a plethora of other holistic wellness supplements with the same rigor for quality, including their sleep blend with organic high CBN hemp. And their hemp is farmed fully sustainably, organically, in biodynamic farms, and the farmers even play binaural beats for the hemp. So if you are interested in trying any of Ned's products, their Mellow Magnesium or their Sleep Blend CBN, I highly recommend you check them out with the link in the show notes or at helloned.com. And you can use the code TBM15 for 15% off any of your Ned purchases. Again, that's TBM15. And let me know any of the beautiful rituals you might put together with your Ned products.
All right, on to the episode.
Live, we'll have introed and done all the fun things. But what we were just talking about off air is that you're in the middle of buying your first house.
Yeah, I am. I'm excited. I'm excited.
One big thing we talk about all the time are expanders. And I was like talking to Jessica off air too, because one of my big wounds is I have to do everything on my own. I have to build it from scratch, et cetera. And the fact that you just shared that your girlfriend owns all of these investment products, like, do you think that's played a big part of you walking through this process?
What's played a big part is feeling a lot of emotional peace and feeling free, clear, and peace inside in the relationship. That's what's played a big part, actually, is being more expansive internally and feeling very natural moving in into buying, you know, as a big property and a big investment. And as opposed to before, I always wanted flexibility in my life and I wanted to have more cash to be able to invest in my business and other things, not in a place where I lived. So I wanted to be able to move quickly if I needed to. I wanted to be able to travel, do these things. And now I really feel like investing in my own home environment will actually create more abundance and expansiveness in every other area of my life. So that's why I'm doing the investment.
I totally agree. I think it's so energetic. I think it's, I love everything you shared. I love the awareness that you were like before, not commitment, but you needed that fluidity because you've gone through a humongous rock bottom that we'll talk about in your life.
Yeah.
If I'm not crazy, you're a Pisces?
I am Pisces, March 16th.
Are you hippie enough to know your moon and rising?
My girlfriend is, and she's told me probably a dozen times, but yeah. I think I'm Virgo rising.
Okay, good. Well, this is so, I mean, just like huge congrats because I'm sure you're probably learning from her that it's also the best leverage to build more wealth once this market's a little chill. the equity and using that. But I just love the energetics behind your decision. It's so exciting.
I think it is. You know, I've studied real estate for a long time. I've got a lot of wealthy real estate friends who have billions in assets. And some of them have told me, this is one theory. It's like, never own where you live.
Yeah. Ramit's a big one on this.
Yeah, Ramit and a lot of other people. Because in my opinion, if I'm doing the math and the numbers, actually buying a home in LA specifically for the amount that I'm getting it for is not a good investment. Because there's now a mansion tax that's coming out that is a 5% tax when you sell it off the top. Damn. There's all the fees, there's everything else, there's a property tax every year and all the maintenance. I'll be lucky in 5 to 7 years, actually, if it goes up a couple million dollars, if I break even. I'll be lucky to break even. Yeah. So it's actually not like the best investment, in my opinion, if you're living in it. If you're owning it and renting and that's a better move. But building the emotional investment, building the spatial investment, the environment investment, and the investment of giving back to me, of giving to me and my space, my time, and my sanctuary, I believe will create abundance financially, spiritually, relationally. It'll create community, which will create, unlock other magic in my life. Because I've never really had people over because I've lived in smaller, you know, kind of condos or apartments. And so this is going to create spaces of connection, abundance, and prosperity. And that's what excites me, because it's going to allow for financial freedom to unlock to a whole nother level.
100%. On the first note too, I'm the crazy person who every property is like a farm and having lease backs and it has three businesses on it.
And a guest house with an extra address that you can rent to your business and everything else.
Got it all. I do it all because, and I love that you've recognized for yourself. And I hope that people are really hearing that because it's so true. I mean, I believe that there are two ways that could go. Like, you have the person who hasn't processed their inner stuff yet. And they're like, I'm going to buy and I'm going to do it like Lewis so that I unlock the next level. And then you never know what happens with them. Or you have the people who are actually doing the work and they're getting into the depths of that and realizing, oh no, this is the piece that's going to like command my worth and my feeling.
And I already feel peaceful and abundant and all those things. I just think it's going to expand it even more, you know, to speak about what you talk about is just expanding it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a whole like, I don't know, I can't remember the analogy. It's like the goldfish in the bowl analogy. It's like where the fish can only grow to the size of the environment that it's living in, the size of the bowl. And once you put it in a bigger bowl, it actually starts to grow, the goldfish. And I think it's kind of like in life when we put ourselves in different environments with more space, we can think beyond the capacity we're currently in. So I feel like it's just going to be a great way to deepen a foundation for abundance that I already feel like I have. And I've been investing in real estate for over 7 years. I'm an investor in multiple apartment complexes, mobile park homes. Like, I've been investing in them, but I never bought my own property because I also know my strength. I was like, I don't want to have extra management or thinking space or even managing a manager who's thinking about it. I was like, I don't want any of that. I want to invest, let someone else take care of all of it and just get a check every month without having to touch a thing. So I know my strengths, because it's not like I want to get in there and like be creative about it, because I just felt like I'd rather use that mental energy on doing what I do best and expanding abundance in my business in another way. So I know myself. My girlfriend, she's like, she wants to become a realtor and like dive into it and study it all and do it. I'm like, great, you can do that. But that's not what I want to do. So.
Yeah, I love that. I think you just hit so many important points that are so, I glean a lot from that. And I'm on her side, like where design and everything's my face. So I love that. I love people getting clear.
But the idea of even checking my, you know, I see her on Airbnb, even if it's like once a month, because she's got someone managing all her messages and everything, like everyone does. Even those 10 minutes is like time space away from me creating more abundance from something else. So I know my strength. That's her strength. Great. Do your thing and I'll do my thing. Yeah.
Amen. Okay. One thing I want to geek out on, and in a really like beautiful and positive way, because it's become really meaningful in my life, especially through birth of my first baby. you know Grace. I think we mutually love Grace, is phenomenal. And you guys share the commonality that you were raised in Christian Science. And for the person listening who's going like, oh, Christian Science, and they're confusing it with Scientology, et cetera, et cetera. My grandparents, like, they practiced a little bit in the 70s. And then it wasn't until a year in Grace working with me, like way back when she was an intern, and we were all at my retreat house, and she was like, I'm a Christian Scientist. And I was like, tell me about that. I love theology. I love learning about stuff. I want to hear about this. And when she explained it, I was like, this sounds awesome. And to me, the way that I really deduce it, I personally think that Mary Baker Eddy was a genius, like a woman doing that at that time against the, I mean, it's brilliant. To me, like if I were to deduce it into something, to me, it's Christ consciousness. I think it's phenomenal. I love the message. And I really practice it through my pregnancy and birth and had like an extremely harmonious experience. I want to talk about your experience, because whenever I meet Christian Scientists, I'm like, tell me, like, how did this play into your life, into your career as an athlete, just to everything?
It was a game changer in a lot of ways. I think as a kid, it was confusing because I felt pain and I felt I'm in a material body. And I'm like, what do you mean this isn't real? Like, this matter feels like matter. And the whole practice of the religion is that we are spiritual beings, right? We're spiritual beings in a material world, but we are an idea. We are thoughts. And it's not the body that causes cancer or causes disease, it's thought. It's thought that causes that, a broken thought. And when we can heal our thinking, the body follows with healing, with flow, with grace, with, you know, all these different things, with harmony and alignment. But if our thinking is out of alignment, the body typically follows at some point, or somewhere in the physical 3D world follows. I'm a big fan of Dr. Joe Dispenza. Every time I talk to him and every time I interview him, I've interviewed him, I don't know, 5 times, and I just went to his retreat, 7-day retreat, which was amazing. I'm like, dude, everything you say is Christian Science. Like almost word for word, you sound like a Christian Scientist, because he's talking about thinking. Sending a thought is an electrical charge that you're putting into the world. And a feeling is a magnetic charge drawing the thought back. And I'm like, okay, that's Christian Science. You know, you're thinking something, if you're thinking ill, negative, guilty, unforgiving thoughts, resentment, anger thoughts, you're going to draw that back into your body. If you're thinking healing thoughts, and you're what we, you know, talk about knowing the truth of human beings, which are spiritual ideas. So if you're thinking, I am an idea, I'm an idea, I'm a whole healthy idea, that means the rest of my thoughts must be in alignment with that. But if they're out of alignment with that thought, then you're fracturing your physical experience. You're fracturing the body and the environment around you to attract and magnetize and draw in animal magnetism, animal thoughts, animal feelings. And so that's why it was confusing, because I had, you know, you're growing up a teenage boy, you got hormones, you got feelings, you got sexual thoughts, you got all these thoughts. And, you know, what Mary Baker Eddy taught was to stand portal at the door of your mind, is to be a guard, to be a witness, and to allow the right thoughts to come in that are in harmony with your highest self, high-minded self.
Which is just like Taoism. It's the same thing since the beginning of time.
And not allowing harmful thoughts to hurt you. And obviously you want to have discernment. We're also moving in a three-dimensional world. But you know what Joe Dispenza talks about, just being in 5D more frequently, getting into the frequency of love, the thought of love, the thought of healing, the thought of harmony. And so when we get to the frequency, he talks about becoming no one, no thing, nowhere, no time, no space. When you get into the five-dimensional frequency of love, you are connected or closer to source. And when you're closer to source, God, love, the frequency of healing, then the body follows when you can do it more frequently. And so that's kind of my experience growing up in Christian Science. I had many physical healings that I was not supposed to heal from the practice. I broke 3 ribs in a game and I healed it within 2 weeks. The year before, I broke the same 3 ribs and it took me like months to recover. But I did something different with my thought the second time around.
What was that?
I knew the truth and I remembered the truth. And the first time it happened, I remembered the fear and I remembered, okay, how long is this going to take? Oh man, I'm out for the whole season. Oh man, I got to wait 3 months. And I remembered the fear of the reality of a physical world as opposed to the truth of a spiritual world. And the second time around, it happened, and quickly I went into, oh shoot, my career is over. Like my season's over again. This is the second game of the year. And I broke the same three ribs, got speared by a helmet. And matter to matter, it takes longer in space-time reality to accomplish a goal if you're living in space-time reality, physical world. But I went into the spiritual, metaphysical world, and I remembered the truth. And I believed in the truth, and I owned and embodied the truth. The whole symbol of Christian Science is about healing. It's heal the sick. That is on the actual crest of Christian Science. It's a cross and a crown. It's about healing and having healing thoughts that we are in harmony with the spiritual world. And when we can get back to that place and we can live in healing harmony thoughts consistently, the frequency that we are magnetizing and drawing into us is abundance, the feeling of gratitude, the feeling of joy, the feeling of love. And then we can discern and make decisions in the 3D world of what actions to take and what things to say yes and no to that are in harmony with that thinking and that belief system. So I did that. I broke my wrist and it was broken for about a year. And I just kept like living in pain. And then I remember I got a x-ray and the doctor said, what have you been doing for this last year? Like you broke this a year ago and it's still broken. And I just kept playing on it and playing sports on it and kind of like grinding it and cracking it. And for a year, there was a crack in the wrist and the bone. I get an x-ray and the guy's like, we got to do surgery. Like this is going to go too long. You're going to have arthritis for the rest of your life. If you don't do this now, you're going to have this problem, all this stuff. I was 17. And I said, my mom, who wasn't a Christian Scientist raised, but became one because she married my father, who was a devout Christian Scientist, kind of lived in both worlds. She lived in the world of like practicality and we, you know, and make sure you're safe and healthy and like, let's just do the surgery, but also understood the teachings of, you know, Christian Science. She said, I think we should do the surgery. I said, Mom, give me 2 weeks. I'm going to go away for 2 weeks. I was going to a summer camp to be a camp counselor for the next 2 weeks. And it was actually at a Christian Science summer camp. And I went there and I said, give me 2 weeks, Mom. And she was like, you're getting the surgery. We need to heal this thing. If you let this go on forever, you're not going to be able to use your hand. She was living in fear. I said, give me 2 weeks. When I come back, we'll do the x-ray again. I'll come to the same surgeon. We'll take another x-ray. If it's not healed, I'll do the surgery. She said, cool. Okay, 2 weeks, fine. Come back, we'll do this. So I'm in the environment of healing thoughts for 2 weeks. And I focus my energy is almost every moment I can on I am a spiritual being. I'm a healed, whole human. My thinking was thinking spiritually, healthy, whole, harmony, strong, all these thinking thoughts. And I was being powerful, strong, healing energy for others around me. So I wasn't acting like, oh, I'm just here like shy, like in this negative state. I was like, I'm being it for others as well. Thinking it and being it for others. I come back and I do the x-ray again. I have these x-rays still. I gotta bring them out at some point because I don't think I've actually told this story. And he comes to me, we have to do the x-ray twice because he said, huh, something doesn't look right. And I already knew to myself, I'm healed.
Yeah, yeah.
I already knew. And he comes in again, he goes, okay, I don't see the crack anymore. he's like, I don't know what happened. Like, what'd you do? How's it, you know, I still feel like we should do something, but it's not there anymore. And I go, I healed myself. And he kind of looked at me like I was crazy. But he's like, okay, if you don't feel pain anymore, like, okay, I still think we should do this because he was confused. But I was like, no, I'm good. Mom, look, here's the evidence. I ended up breaking it again 5 years later and needing to do a surgery because I just completely shattered it. But that first time was a massive healing for me. Yeah, I just had so many cool moments like that. But it's only if I'm in that state of being consistently because I could go into other places where I get sick or hurt and my fear is taking over and it takes longer to heal. It takes as long as normally it would take for a human to heal.
And you, because there's like angles I want to go here. I love this. It's to me, I love this topic. And it's something that has always been like somebody who suffered from endocrine issues and hormonal, et cetera, it's been a massive part of my journey of healing. Like I've had total healings. I've shared with the community. It's really, in fact, one day you'll have to meet Grace's mom, Mel. We all know Mel. And she is the most devout Christian scientist on the planet.
Wow.
And this woman in her 60s, she never, like, birthdays she doesn't recognize, obviously.
My dad never celebrated birthdays when I was growing
up. Right? That's all. No, nothing. And I love that. I just love so many concepts around this. And she is the most, I don't even know how one human can have so much energy and get so much done. She is so inspiring. And so anytime I'm sort of grumbling with things, I really think to her and I'm like, that's what that looks like when you've been in that state of consciousness for that long. It's a testament. It's incredible. So I love that. Well, let's pivot into your major rock bottom then, which was ultimately your path to greatness. Let's talk about that for the listeners who aren't familiar, haven't heard that story, or just don't know you in general, because I think it's a really powerful pivot and a big thing we talk about are rock bottoms.
I mean, most of my life, I wanted to be successful. I grew up very insecure, very unsure of myself, very afraid and uncertain about why I'm here, what's the point of my life. And I didn't really have a lot of friends and I didn't feel good about myself because I was always in the bottom of my class in school. They would rank us on grade cards, so I was always in the bottom four. And I didn't have confidence even just getting in front of my classmates and speaking aloud or reading from a book because I had a very poor reading level. So I just lived in a lot of insecurity and fear most of my childhood. I was also sexually abused when I was 5, and that made me live in a lot of fear. I was sexually abused by a man that I didn't know. And for 25 years, I held on to the shame. And no one knew this about me until 10 years ago, I started to kind of talk about it and open up and heal. And that caused a lot of anger inside of me to want to prove people wrong, to want to protect myself, to want to never be taken advantage of or abused again. It created this unconscious script of fear and needing to protect myself. When I was 8, my brother went to prison for 4.5 years. So I grew up in a small town in Ohio, and small town news travels fast. So my world was like a 2-block neighborhood, which was like, I'd, you know, walk around or go on my bike. And it was like, that was my whole world. And all the moms wouldn't let their neighborhood kids hang out with me for those 4 years because my brother was in prison. They thought I was a bad kid, all these different things. So I just didn't have friends really growing up. It wasn't until I was about 12 when I met my first friend. And that's not an exaggeration. I had classmates, but I didn't have friends. And so I remember just feeling very unsure of myself. But I had big goals and dreams to be successful, to try to prove myself to others so that I would fit in and be accepted and feel a sense of belonging. Because I didn't belong to myself. I didn't belong to anyone else is what I felt like. As I became like a teenager, I started to get pretty good at sports because I put all my anger and aggression into athletics. And I realized, okay, I didn't have skill or talent in academics at all, but I started to see I had some skill and talent there. So I just put everything into that and became pretty successful as an athlete, right? I became pretty successful in sports, college, professional football, played with the USA handball team for 8 years. And then I went on to build a business. You know, I was struggling on my sister's couch at one point. And I went on to learn through coaches and mentors and just taking a lot of action on my fears, how to start a business when I didn't think that would ever happen. And when I hit 30, I probably had 2 rock bottoms. One was like losing my dream of playing football and being on my sister's couch for 1.5 years, trying to figure out what I was going to do in 2008 when the recession happened and all this was happening. And my father got into a car accident that left him in a coma for many months. Oh. And right around the same time. So that was kind of like rock bottom one. But rock bottom two was probably even worse. And it's because I had success, I had money, I had health, I had accolades, I had all these things, but I was still miserable and suffering inside. And I think that's a greater rock bottom than actually having nothing. Mm-hmm. And kind of in transition. For me, it's like winning But winning at the wrong things and still feeling like a loser was worse for me than being on my sister's couch, because I already had nothing. So it's kind of like, all right, I have nothing, whatever. It was hard, but it was worse to have, quote unquote, everything externally and feel nothing inside in my mind. So that was about 10 years ago. And I was going through, I moved to Los Angeles for a girl. The day I moved, she broke up with me.
Oh.
I was going through an emotional up and down relationship with my business partner at the time, where we weren't in alignment on our vision and our values moving forward. And I lacked the emotional tools on how to communicate, and so did he. So it was just kind of like frustration with each other. And I was taking all of this frustration and anger out from these kind of two relationship breakups that were happening in life. And I was reactive, and I felt like everyone was against me. It was kind of like I was a five-year-old being sexually abused in every area of life. If someone would cut me off in a car, it was like I had to get in front of them and scream at them or flip them off, because I felt like they were abusing me. If, you know, my business partner, I felt like he was doing something unethical, it was like he was abusing me. The girlfriend, when she broke up with me, when I moved to LA to be in a relationship with her, because she requested it, I was like, this is the greatest abuse, right? So all these things were just stories confirming that I was this like abused person. And all these things were happening that I ended up getting into a fight on a basketball court here in Los Angeles on a pickup basketball game. And that was kind of like the last thing for me, because it made me realize like there's something inside of me that's getting triggered easily, even when I'm not being attacked. And I've got to take a look inside. And I was with a buddy of mine at the time, who was a good friend of mine. He was like, hey, I don't want to really hang out with you anymore if you're going to act this way.
Mm.
And it was a big wake-up call for me. And I go, okay, the common denominator, all these things, is not that everyone doesn't understand me, which is what I was saying. Like, people just don't get me. They don't understand me. Is that I'm at the center of all these breakdowns. And so let me take a look in the mirror and see what I can do, because I had accomplished so much at that time that I thought like nothing was wrong with me and I had the answers and my ego was leading the way. But I realized, man, but emotionally I was bankrupt and I didn't know why. And that's when I started the journey of healing 10 years ago. And I've done numerous different experiences and exercise and therapeutic processes to allow me to unpack and mend the wounds to create new meaning so that I could have a different vision for my life. And that's kind of been the journey I've been on in the last 10 years now.
The big question, and thank you for sharing all of that, which I know you've shared publicly, but that's a lot. That's a lot, you know, I'm really grateful. The big question I have is, during that process and the different modalities you've used to heal, like when you really get to the root of your authentic self, who you are and who you weren't, obviously at all, didn't have the tools to touch in with when you were younger and going through all those challenges, like, who is that? Like, when you really get into your true authenticity, because you weren't able to be in touch with it as a kid, right? Like, you had all these confirming experiences that are like, I have to be a shell of a person to be loved. I have no idea what that's going to be. But now that you've been through like these modalities and healing and actually touching in with that inner child and that version of you, like, who are you? I love this. Like, to me, this is a question I could talk about forever, but like,
sure.
I've had these experiences to really find out like, oh no, this is me. Like, this is my authentic self. Who is that for you?
Who am I?
Who are you, Lewis? Who are you?
I'm a loving, passionate, wise man.
You're a Pisces, which is what Pisces are.
I am a loving, passionate, wise, whole man. And for years, for most of my life, I thought I was never enough. And I was broken. And I thought, you know, all these different things, that I was never enough. And at the, you know, there's really three main fears that cause us to doubt ourselves. I'm a big believer that self-doubt is the biggest killer of all of our dreams, our abundance, fulfillment, love, joy, all these things, when we doubt. And those three fears are the fear of failure, fear of success, and the fear of judgment. I didn't fear failure or success, which is a lot of people's main fear, one of those two. And I can break down why if you want at some point. But I didn't fear those because as an athlete, I was trained that failure is just part of the process. It's feedback, it's information to help you, like, you know, win. And so you needed to fail in order to succeed. And success is what I wanted, because I thought if I was successful, then I would belong. I would fit in. I would matter. I would get accepted. And since I didn't accept myself fully and didn't own who I was fully, all the success I accomplished for 20 plus years was never enough to fill what I wasn't able to fill myself without it. And so the main fear for me was the fear of judgment, other people's opinions. Because I was alone until I was about 12, didn't really have friends, and felt made fun of and picked on because of all the different challenges I was going through. And I felt like I just wanted to belong. You know, I wanted to fit in, but I never belonged to me. I never accepted me. And therefore, I would give in and abandon myself, my values, my personality, my dreams to please others around me. And I don't know if anyone listening or watching has ever been a people pleaser in the past or a recovering people pleaser.
Or currently,
it is exhausting. It is a losing game because you're always battling against who you actually are. You're never going to be able to buy peace, buy love, by abandoning yourself and giving in to please one other human. And I think that's the game I played for 30 years until I hit 30, because I just wanted people to accept and like me. But if I don't accept and like me, then it doesn't really matter how many other people like me, because they're liking me for a version that is not 100% authentic to my highest self when I'm abandoning who I am. So I had to learn that the hard way. And at the center of all three of these fears, failure, success, judgment, is I'm not enough. I am not enough. And I had to go back and I did a process. I don't know if you've ever done this, Lacey, but in the last couple of years, I've done a process. For about 6 months, I had a photo of my 5-year-old self on my phone. Right now, I've got a 17-year-old self on my phone right now. And I was doing a lot of the healing from the 5 to kind of 8-year range. There's really been kind of 4 key healing modalities that have supported me over the last 10 years and have unlocked different levels of healing and awareness in the last decade. One of them was in the last 2 years ago when I started, where I found a new emotional coach to guide me on healing all the different wounds around intimacy. Because I'd done a lot of healing around sexual abuse and feeling picked on and feeling like all these other things around like those wounds, to where they didn't trigger me anymore. But I was still triggered and needing to please the person that I loved. And I would give in and give in and give in until I had nothing else to give, based on the wound and intimacy. And so I came to a conclusion where I was like, okay, let's start this therapy in a previous relationship. And I went in for 5 months, individual and couples therapy, every single week for 5 months. I need peace, freedom, and clarity. This is my intention, but I didn't have it. I lacked it in the relationship. I was like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Put me through any process, any experience, give me feedback, whatever you want to do. Break down my ego. I'm here for it. I'm game for it. But I want to find a solution, and I will go anywhere I need to go emotionally, spiritually, mentally to break free. So I was game for anything. And it got to the point where she was like, I want you to put a photo of yourself from 5 years old where your first wound was. And I was like, well, I already healed the stuff from sexual abuse. She's like, just do it anyways. So I had it on there, and I remember doing many exercises with my 5-year-old self. And I think you are down for all this conversation, Lacey, and you talk a lot about this stuff. Where she had me do multiple exercises. One of them, which was putting myself in a meditative state alone in a room by myself and meditating to prime my energy and call forth my 5-year-old self to be in the room with me, right? And I'm sure you've done practices like this and your audience has as well. But as a man growing up as an athlete, this is not stuff you talk about or think about or even consider doing, right? This is like stuff that would be against the code of an athlete, essentially, growing up in Ohio. But I was like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And I'd already been doing a lot of stuff for the previous decades. So I brought forth and saw my 5-year-old self, and I could literally be there with compassion and love. And I had a conversation with him. I said, how are you feeling? He said, I'm really scared. I'm really scared. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this man made me do this. I don't know why my parents are living in so much fear and are so mean to each other. I don't know why I don't feel loved. I feel insignificant, and I'm really scared. And I just kept asking him questions. How else do you feel? How else do you feel? And then at the end, I was able to essentially parent my five-year-old self from where I'm at now as an adult. And I had a conversation with little Lewis. And I just said, you're doing so amazing. I'm so proud of you. I love you so much. You are filled with so much love. And I know it's uncertain and you've got some scary times, but man, look how far you've taken us. You got through it and you got us here. I'm kind of getting chills thinking about it because I don't think we ever experienced this type of language or conversation or intimacy with the parts of ourselves that are really scared or wounded. And those parts are still inside of us if we haven't created a new relationship, if we haven't had a conversation and given those parts of us, those wounded parts of us, love that we needed. And so I did this for a while, and then I just hugged my five-year-old version of myself, and I brought him into my heart and into my soul and integrated to the peace and the love that I have now. And it was just one exercise of many that allowed me to reflect, practice, and then integrate healing. It's been a beautiful journey of then doing that from ages 5 to 8 and then 8 to 12. And now I'm on like 17 to 21. And my intention is to marry every painful moment into a beautiful lesson and create meaning from each one of these moments into my current year self and have full congruency, harmony, and alignment, and compassion for all the stupid mistakes I made. I mean, listen, I could speak for 5 hours about all the mistakes I made and just be like, okay, that was stupid. And I can either beat myself up and live in resentment or regret or shame, but that doesn't do anything for me. That doesn't cause abundance. Or I can have compassion, take full ownership, be responsible, and say, well, now that I have the wisdom, here's what I'm committed to creating moving forward. And it's just been a beautiful process of healing the wounds that I thought didn't matter or in the past, or let's let them go, but really having full ownership of my entire life and creating full coherent healing energy for the now. And it's been one of the most peaceful, joyful, loving processes where I feel peace consistently now. And it's a beautiful thing.
I love it. I believe in that with every fiber in my being. That's the crux of everything our work stands on. You know, it really is. It's all inner child and shadow. And it's just so beautiful for you to be in the position you're in and the background you're from and what can be lumped into like a stereotype. It just to be able to be someone who can show other, you know, people who identify as you do, that this is so important. It's so worth it. It's what's going to bring wholeness. So you've heard the buzz around manifestation probably everywhere, but maybe you don't fully believe in manifesting. Or maybe, like me, you even tried vision boarding, thinking positive, staying in the vortex. Lacey here. I'm the founder of 2Be Magnetic. We offer workshops that teach you how to manifest literally anything you want. But here's the thing. Our manifestation method is totally different than anything you've ever encountered because we are fully backed by science and proven to work by tens of thousands of our members. Here's why. Years ago, I discovered the secret about manifestation, which is you don't manifest from your thoughts, you manifest from your subconscious beliefs. So we design workshops that rewire your subconscious beliefs to align with what you actually want to manifest. And these workshops are informed by client research and input from leading doctors, therapists, and researchers. We wanted to make these courses accessible to as many people as possible. So we created the Pathway membership, which gives you unlimited access to all of our courses, tools, and offerings for less than $1 a day. We do offer a la carte workshops like Unblock Love, Unblocked Money, or the Basics Bundle, which includes our 3 foundation courses. But all of those workshops and more are included inside the Pathway membership, which is truly the best place to begin. Use our code MANIFEST, that's all caps, MANIFEST, to receive $20 off your first TBM purchase. Again, that's all caps, MANIFEST. Okay, now back to the episode.
And I want to tell you a quick story. This happened to me. I got a text two nights ago from a guy. I wrote a book called The Mask of Masculinity over 5 years ago. That was kind of about this healing journey I've been going on as a man, about taking off the mask that I was wearing to protect myself and project an image to belong, and started to taking those off and stepping into full vulnerability and authenticity, which has been a 10-year journey and will continue to be a journey for the rest of my life. And I studied from all like the top psychologists and therapists and men's work studies and all these different things to have this book come out. And I did a talk last year. I've spoken in prisons a handful of times, and I did a virtual talk last year in a prison that went out to all the prisons in America. And I'm a big believer in allowing healing principles to be available for all humanity. And as you know, a lot of the harm that is done in the world is caused mostly by men. We see these mass shootings. I think it's like 95% of them are caused by men. You know, a lot of the domestic violence is caused by men. A lot of the harm that happens is caused by men that lack the tools, And it's really what it is. They lack the tools of healing, accepting and loving themselves, and mending wounds. Now, by no means is their actions okay, and everyone gets to be held accountable for their actions and the pain that they cause. But I can also see the compassion for, if I didn't have tools and things like this, and I was never able to speak about my shame, it'd be really hard. And like anger bottles up and people do things for dumb reasons and they cause harm. And so I did this talk to these prisons, and I got this message from this guy who facilitated this talk. He sent me a photo of a 6-page letter from a inmate in Pelican Bay State Prison from a 21-year-old that's been in solitary confinement for 2 years, he said. And he had in solitary confinement, it's 23 hours a day in a hole with no human contact, no exposure. You get an hour a day outside by yourself, walking around in fresh air. So just imagine 23 hours a day locked in a hole and an hour a day with fresh air, but not with other inmates. So really no human contact except when they feed you. And I know what that was like, because my brother told me he was in confinement for 2 weeks one time, and it almost drove him insane. So just imagine that. He said, with a person who's been in solitary confinement for 2 years, he had a swastika tattooed on his chest when he met him. This is the guy who met him. And he said he dropped out of the white gang he was in. And when he asked him why, he said, Lewis Howes and the Mask of Masculinity. And he said, and in the letter, he wrote a letter that he screenshot and sent to me. In the letter, he was saying, when I was in solitary confinement, all they had was a TV with certain programming. And this was a live stream that we did to all these prisons. And he watched this interview of us talking about what I learned in the book. And he got the book, and he said he's read it over and over again, and he started to heal the wounds of his past that he wasn't even conscious of, because a lot of these actions are unconscious. They're protection mechanisms that we're just triggered and we act to protect ourselves. And he said, I've left the gang. I've started to heal. I've started to forgive, all these different things. And I think that's what a lot of us get to do, whether we are free human beings, essentially not behind bars, but if we are prisoners in our own thinking and our feelings, we're going to feel like prisoners. But he is a behind bar prisoner, and he is becoming emotionally free. And imagine a world where every inmate forgives, transforms, heals, mends the wounds, becomes conscious human beings. And everyone who's also not in bars does the same thing and causes less harm on other people. So for me, the whole game is healing and being in a healing state. That's why my book, The Greatness Mindset, it's really a Trojan horse. I mean, most of the book is about healing.
Let's talk about it. Let's dig in. I want to hear about it, because you've done like the perfect priming and setup, you know, of how you've gotten here. And I think the really cool thing is that you've been able to access such profound people in your life who have contributed and helped this process. Like, let's just dig into this. It's so interesting. And I want to hear all about it.
Again, for me, when I was growing up, I wanted success, because I thought that's what would make me feel accepted, love myself, belong, fit in, have friends, all these things. Feel desired, wanted, and I accomplished it, and I still didn't feel those things. And I accomplished it in sports, multiple sports, college, professional, high school, like every level, Olympic level. I accomplished it on so many levels, and I still didn't feel loved, accepted enough. Then I was like, all right, let me go figure out this business world. And, you know, made my first six figures and seven figures and eight figures. And I was like, why do I still not feel loved? You know, why do I still not feel good enough? And it wasn't until the journey started 10 years ago where I realized, like, okay, success is selfish. Success is about me. Success is about awards, winning, being right, looking good. And it only gets me so far. It got me to the level that I was accomplishment-wise, but not fulfillment-wise. And that's when I was like, okay, what is this greatness thing? And when I started studying it, I was like, greatness is about my dreams and impacting others around me in the pursuit of those dreams. And that's where true fulfillment came from. And so when I started to say, okay, this is not about me anymore. This is about us. And it's about impacting people. I said, I got to get a clear mission, because my mission before was to accomplish goals for me. It's like, how can I hit this goal and reach this thing? But it wasn't fulfilling enough. And so the first thing I talk about is getting clear on a meaningful mission that includes your dreams and goals and others around you. So my mission is to serve 100 million lives every single week to help them improve the quality of their life. It's one sentence, clear mission. Most people aren't clear on a mission that includes others. They're clear on what they want, but not what they want to do to serve others. So I'm very clear on that. But a lot of people aren't willing to get into the addressing the self-doubt and the fears. And when we can address where we don't feel enough around success, failure, or judgment, and when we can get to the heart of that and start mending and healing, that's when we can act in alignment with our meaningful mission authentically. And so that's really been the process, is figuring out which healing method and modalities work for you in order to heal that wound so that you can act in accordance with a meaningful mission that's about serving other people with your dreams. So I've done a lot of different modalities over the last 10 years, as I know you have. Mm-hmm. My coach says, you know, healing is not a destination. It's an ongoing journey. And just because I feel peace and harmony right now doesn't mean I say, you know what, I'm done with this healing thing. I don't need coaching anymore. It's like, how can I dive in deeper with the practice to stay here? And that's what it's been about.
I love it. Oh man, let's dig in. Because the first thing I just want to highlight for people that I think is so, to me, it seems so obvious, and I'm sure to you, it seems so obvious as well. But like everything you've been through, you kind of had to really, truly go through this journey in order to serve this mission and purpose and find these tools and heart. It really has been your authentic. If I'm getting really hippie, you kind of chose to probably have to go through these really wild experiences. I would argue, yeah, like through my existence and work I've done, everybody has wounds. We've all experienced pain, shame, and programming. How magical that you had this clarity at such a young age. You're like, no, I'm meant for something great. Even if at the time the motivation was to be loved and accepted by yourself and others, you had that seed. And I would argue that most people have that seed. And it shows, like statistics show, if you don't have one person who can see that and reflect that in you, that's when you end up in the systems you've talked about, that you've spoken to. However, you probably did. And then you went through these really incredibly painful experiences in order to have to transform it and show other people how to do that. And I just think that that's like something worth calling out. It's obvious, but it's so beautiful when we can look back and reflect, yeah, I had to go through all of that in order to do what I'm doing now. I just want to touch on that, because I think that that's really important for people to know.
Yeah. And for years, I was just ashamed of these things and didn't want to talk about them. And I didn't want to think about them. But they were like movies playing in my mind daily of the shames and the pain and things like that. And it wasn't until I said, okay, I'm going to face it, I'm going to address it, and I'm going to create a new meaning around these. That's when I was like, okay, these needed to happen in order for me to care deeply about people, in order for me to want to actually have a big mission to serve and to be able to speak authentically into the experiences. And it took a long time. You know, I wish I could have learned this a lot sooner and not have to wait till, you know, my 30s to start like mending. As I look back, I've created new meaning around all these events and all these experiences. And it gives me a lot of peace and freedom now, knowing that they were meant to happen for me to make a greater impact. And again, I don't wish they would have happened and I don't hope they happen to anyone else, but it's, I can accept what has happened and create new meaning around it. So that's the way I look at it.
And in the book, because you've put out a lot of really important teachings and you have the school, but one thing that I love about you, because I know that you are a proponent of law of attraction, obviously everything that you've grown up with in Christian Science, et cetera. But one thing that you talk about that is so important is action. It is so important. Like, not a lot of people, when they're following different spiritual modalities, really put a lot of weight into the action piece. And I think that that's a really important thing to touch on. Is it in the book? Is it a big thing in the book? How much does action play into all the philosophies and everything that you're sharing with people?
Well, I think I wouldn't be where I'm at without consistent action. Last week, I hit 10 years of my show, The School of Greatness. 10 years, every single week, showing up and putting out the best piece of content I could that week. So none of this would have manifested, attracted, without action consistently. Action is in the word attraction. It's not like attraction without action. It's in the word attraction, but you've got to be consistently taking the action. And you got to be consistently saying, how can I improve? If I would have stayed the same actions I did the first 3 years, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I'm constantly re-evaluating and reinventing how I show up, the production quality, the level, the team, like, and improving the action as I go. I learned this in sports. You know, in sports, we're very clear on the vision for every season of athletics, of where we wanted to go. And I learned this my sophomore year in high school. When I got into football for the first time, I started playing as a 15-year-old in high school. My first practice, they had a calendar, a schedule of every 15 minutes, what we were doing for the day of practice. And I was so like, huh, this is really interesting. Like, it's so organized and it almost feels like just very, very too structured. I was like, man, it's like almost militant. Every 15 minutes, first 5 minutes, like stretch, then the next 15 minutes, then like team meeting, then water break, then special teams, offense, defense, breakout sessions with your coaches, like all these different things until the very last minute, like clean your locker and then go home. It was like so organized with the calendar and the schedule. And every day I got essentially a piece of paper on my locker of what we were doing that day, what actions we were going to take that will get us closer to the goal. So we talk about these kind of greatness game plan and greatness goals. It's what is a thing based on your meaningful mission that is the exact action you need to take that day to support you in accomplishing that meaningful mission. And so for me, it's all about the consistent action and progressing and having feedback. I love having coaches and mentors because doing it on my own, I have so many blind spots. And knowing from great athletes, when you see Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James win a championship, they don't say, you know what? I think I'm done with my coaches. Thanks for getting me here. Now I've got it figured out. They actually go hire more coaches to help them in different areas of their game to stay at the top and improve. And I think a lot of times we don't look at our life as needing coaches and mentors and guides. And I have one in every aspect of my life. Because from sports, that's how I improved. Having a game plan, being set to a schedule that supports my meaningful mission on a daily basis, and then showing up consistently. It's been 10 years, and it wouldn't be where it is without the consistent daily action towards a meaningful mission. It just wouldn't happen. If I just thought, I hope I can impact people. I hope I can build a platform. I hope I'm a New York Times bestseller. I hope I can make 7 figures or 8 figures without the action, I would not attract it. Again, like Dr. Joe Dispenza speaks about with his science and research of the quantum field, of the physics of it, when we think and feel, we're sending out a signal and drawing in the feeling. So we must think and feel. That's part of the law of attraction. But then we must do. Again, be what you want and then do, and then you have it. But you must be it first. You must feel it first and then take the action and then manifest it or attract it. I don't know any other way than to take massive, consistent, imperfect action and try to improve on it every day.
So for the person sitting here listening who really identifies with your story, or I love this piece, like identifies with the golden nugget, I know I meant to do something great, which I had as well as a child. So I really know what that feels like. I always was like, this was the family I chose. Wow. This is interesting. You know, I always had that feeling, but I knew, and same thing, like all the experiences I went through completely had to happen. Again, like you said, wouldn't wish them on people, et cetera, but they had to happen in order to give me the skill set and the compassion for anything that channels through me and that I teach. For the person sitting there right now that's like, I know this about myself, or I have the burning idea, maybe I even have clarity of my purpose. Let's actually be in the dark, like someone who doesn't fully have clarity of their purpose, because that's a big thing that plays into greatness. What would be the three most important teachings or takeaways, just in a nutshell, that the book could highlight for them?
Yeah, if you're trying to figure out what your purpose is, I call it a meaningful mission. There's three parts in the book, you know, the three P's that will support you in trying to get closer to figuring it out. And it might be a period of time that you're just testing and trying things. My first interview I ever did 10 years ago was with Robert Greene. He wrote a book. He's written many New York Times bestsellers. One of them is called The 48 Laws of Power. He's written a book called Mastery and all these kind of unique, interesting types of books that are around philosophy and modern wisdom and all this stuff. And I asked him, like, did you know your purpose early on? He was like, no, I didn't know. It took me like 20 years to figure it out. And I'd had five or six different jobs that I was pursuing and trying because I thought maybe that was the thing. He came to Hollywood. He was a newspaper writer. He was a writer, but he was like, well, I'm going to get into newspapers. He didn't like newspaper reporting. Then he got into TV script writing. He was like, I didn't like being in these rooms with these other writers. We didn't gel well. I didn't like this industry. Then I tried movie script writing. Then he tried magazines. He tried all these different styles of writing. And he was like, nothing was really working, but I knew that I was interested in writing. I knew it was a talent of mine and it was a curiosity of mine. And then he said, you know what? I really wish there was a book that would solve this problem, like that would give me, written in a different, unique way, kind of a quirky way that. And so we started writing this format for a book that no one had ever seen before, called The 48 Laws of Power, that was written in a weird, chunky way that was like bigger than most books and just kind of a unique way of how it was written. It wasn't, you wouldn't see it like this in any other books. And he said he got turned down by lots of different publishers, but eventually someone took a chance on him and it became a massive hit. And he's just rewritten other books around topics in that format and they're all big hits. But he was like, I had to go through all these different experiences of learning how to write to create a book that I needed. I was solving a problem that I wanted for myself in my actions. And that's kind of what I think about with how to discover what your meaningful mission or your purpose is there's three P's. The first one is your passions. And some people say, like, don't follow your passion. Follow the profit. Follow where you can make the money. I don't believe in that. I feel like the money, you'll get burnt out if you're not interested in it as well. It eventually becomes boring.
Oh, totally. Everything becomes a job. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, yes, maybe you need to for a while. Like I was a truck driver for 3 months in my 20s because I needed to make some money. So it's like I did what I needed to make money, but it wasn't like my interest. It was just a season of time that I had to do it. And I was like working towards figuring out how to get out of it. So that's one thing. But the first P is the passion. I really think lean into what you're most curious about and just start there. Start with what am I curious about? What am I interested in? What excites me? If you can wake up every morning with excitement, you're more willing to work harder on it, take risks at it, and be consistent on it, even when it's hard. And this was my thing, Lacey. I was like, okay, well, I'm really curious about asking questions. And I'm really curious about people. And that's what I'm interested in, really. But I didn't think I could make money, an eight-figure business, asking questions for people. This wasn't a thing 15 years ago, nor did I think anyone would let me interview them. But I was just like, that's something I'm interested in and curious about. So I leaned into that. The second thing is the second P is the power. What talents, skills, physical or invisible assets do you possess? And you might have to ask other people to see what that is for you. So that's one thing, is figuring out leaning into your talents and skills and invisible assets. And another part of that P, the power, is figuring out where you feel most powerless, making a list of these fears that make you feel most powerless in your life and starting to go all in on those fears so that you gain more confidence and more belief in yourself as opposed to have these limits that hold you back. One of them for me was public speaking. I could not speak in front of 3 to 5 people without stuttering and forgetting what I was going to say. I just couldn't do it because I was so afraid of the judgment. So what I did is I made a list of all my fears in my early 20s when I got injured playing football on my sister's couch. And I was like, speaking in public is one of my greatest fears. This is going to hold me back for the rest of my life if I don't figure it out. So I joined Toastmasters. I didn't just manifest and think I can be a good speaker. I took massive action. I joined Toastmasters, which is a public speaking class. I put myself in an embarrassing state every single week for a year in front of an audience, got feedback, stumbled, fumbled, sweat, made a fool of myself. And I did it every week for a year until I got better and better and had confidence. By the end of that year, I started making money speaking in public because I took consistent action and overcame a thing that made me feel powerless. So that's the second P, is figuring out your talents and skills, but also the things that make you feel powerless and leaning into them. The third one is figuring out, this is what you've done so beautifully, Lacey, is figuring out what problem you want to solve. My friend Rory Vaden says, you are perfectly positioned to serve the person you once were. And if you struggled with losing weight for 20 years and you finally figured it out, you're perfectly positioned to help someone who's still struggling. If you were in debt and, you know, went bankrupt, but finally figured out how to create financial peace and abundance and stability, you're perfectly positioned to help others that you once struggled to be. Same thing in relationships, life, whatever it might be, you're perfectly positioned. So if you can figure out the thing that you're most interested and excited about, figure out what your talents and skills are and overcome the things that make you feel powerless, and then start saying, what problems do I want to solve with these other two? I feel like that's when you can get clearer in figuring out what your purpose or meaningful mission is.
I completely agree. I love those. It was interesting when even you were first talking, like, I have a gift, I'm claircognizant, and I can always feel the pops, like bam, 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 that's the thing. And when you said it was the person's talent and curiosity, I love that piece. And then just trying. So I love that you were able to then condense down, even thinking from like that very first conversation you had with that author, and condense down that I love systems clearly and processes. Yeah, so I love that. That's so concise.
Yeah, you're never gonna figure it out. Maybe you figure it out right away, but usually it takes a period of trial and error and seeing what works for you, what excites you, what doesn't work for you, and refinement. And also understanding the season of life you're in. You know, maybe before you became a mom, Lacey, you were like, now this is my mission and this is what I'm committed to creating in the world. And now since becoming a mom, maybe that mission is bigger. Maybe it's shifted. Maybe it's changed. Maybe there's a different intention behind your mission. So it's understanding the season that we're in and being willing to reinvent with every new season.
Love it. Last question I have, because I know that people are probably sitting there now and they're like, hey, I have to read this book. I have to, you know, check out, and we'll get into that piece. But what are some of, like, the person who's sitting there and they're making the list of the things they're powerless in, right? That's so scary for someone who is not only now am I clear on what maybe my purpose or mission is, holy shit, now I'm going to have to do something about it. So now they're making the list of powerless. What are some of, just highlighting some of the tools and modalities they have to look forward to in the book that's going to help them overcome those?
Well, I mean, the first one is, I don't think you should take on your biggest fear alone. And every fear, you know, I call it the fear list, the things that make you feel powerless. If you want to become fearless, write your fear list and start knocking them off. So for me, it's figuring out how to find the right mentor, coach, and guide that will support you, that you'll be encouraged by, that you will go above and beyond to overcome for, and figuring out how to respect and find those individuals. And a lot of this is being in the right place at the right time, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher appears, all that stuff. But it's getting clear on finding your coach, guide, mentor, friend who is going to guide you in the process. And really embracing that relationship and going all in. So I had a coach for public speaking. I had a coach for writing my first book because I was terrified to write a book. And I found someone who had written a number of books before who guided me. I had a salsa dancing coach. I could not dance to save my life. And I remember feeling like, man, I really believe I want to learn how to salsa dance because I'm so afraid of it. I'm so afraid of humiliating, embarrassing myself in a dance and a culture that I know nothing about. And I found a coach that I was like, I want to look like him and embody his energy on the dance floor. And I worked with him week after week and just fumbled and looked like an idiot over and over again until I got to a place where it actually clicked. It's like I became a fluent salsa dancer. And then I traveled the world and I put myself in situations and scenarios. I've been salsa dancing for 17 years now.
Wow.
And I've traveled the world to the biggest cities in the world of every continent. I have salsa danced in the biggest cities, at the biggest clubs, in the most uncomfortable scenarios and situations with languages that I do not speak. And I enter into the club and I say, where is the best dancer? And I look on the dance floor for the best female dancer that I don't know, but is the most intimidating. And I watch her with some other guy dancing their asses off. And I say to myself, okay, you're gonna go right up to this person here and ask her for a dance. And I don't know the language. I've done this in France, I've done this in Italy, I've done this in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Mexico, Argentina, Brazil. I've done this in Ghana, I've done this in Ireland, all over the world. When I travel, I put myself in these situations and say, how can I make myself uncomfortable, even when I know how to do this? And I go up to the girl right after I see her finish the dance and I say, can I have this dance? And most of the time they reject me. And it's the worst feeling to be rejected, but I keep doing it because I know I need to practice and master the skill of gaining confidence and having courage of rejection. And then what I end up doing is I end up finding other people that will finally dance with me, because usually when there's some tall white guy, they think they can't dance. And if they don't know who they are, they're like, get out of here. Like, no, I'm not gonna dance with you. And then I find someone who will dance with me and I go dance right next to them, the person that rejected me. And I dance and I just love and I just give it and I have fun. And the whole goal is like, will they ask me to dance later? Can I get them to come to me later and attract them? But that doesn't happen without courage and action consistently throughout the whole night. It doesn't say, oh, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to think they're going to come up to me and speak to me and say they want to dance with me. No, I have to practice this all the time. So that's one of the strategies, is really figuring out how to master your fear list. Because I believe when you learn the art of believing in yourself, even in the face of extreme embarrassment and rejection, and having the courage to act, knowing that is a big possibility, you can do anything. You can take on anything, launch a podcast, write a book, do a coaching program. These are easy things when you practice embarrassment and facing rejection consistently. And that's part of this process in the book. But if we are not willing to mend, heal, and create new meaning from the wounds we have of our past, we will live in a constant state of fear, of rejection, failure, embarrassment, or success, whatever it might be. We will live in the fear and we will not act courageously and authentically to our highest self. And that's what this is all about, creating those tools, wisdom, and actionable guides to do that for yourself.
I'm on board. I love it. I think this is great. What is the best way for people to first engage with you all the way into the book? Like, where do you love people to start?
The School of Greatness podcast is all free stuff there if you want to learn more there. But The Greatness Mindset, it's on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or you can get it on my website, lewishouse.com or greatness.com. We'll have all the information there.
Love it. Well, I'm so thankful. I mean, just for your time, this has been such an engaging conversation. Thank you for your vulnerability. That's a really refreshing thing always when I talk to somebody who's willing to be so open and vulnerable. And thanks for geeking out with me on Christian Science.
Of course. No one ever asked me about Christian Science.
I know.
And, it's fun for me to talk about because, again, I study all these neuroscientists, quantum physicists, therapists, you know, mental health experts, doctors, and they're all saying the same thing a woman said in the 1800s about the science of spirituality, about the science of healing. And I think what she did was beautiful because at that time, I think a lot of people were struggling with, well, how do I just have blind faith that this is what Jesus did, or that, you know, he did all these things. And she said, let me teach the science of how it can actually be done, and bring this awareness to people. It's like you said, for a woman to do this in the 1800s and to spread a message to millions of people around the world and start churches around the world, before the internet, before all these social media, before all these ways to get a message out there, but doing it through healing, doing it through healing those who were sick, who could find zero solutions, through healing thought and finding alignment, harmony, and peace within themselves, and therefore aligning their body to spiritual being. It's a beautiful thing to be a part of and experience and learn from growing up. So I'm just very grateful for the experience.
I know how beautiful and how lucky. And yeah, I mean, just to take it a little bit further too, that she had been through such a hard life as well. A lot of pain and losing her child. I mean, it's just, and to really transform that. I mean, she had tried like homeopaths and done a lot of the things, you know, and to really just catapult to that level of truly Christ consciousness. Like that's really what that is. And I love Christ consciousness. And, you know, it's the same energy that all of these theology modalities have already had that through line. So I love that you're so lucky to have had that through everything you've been through to be a foundation at the very bottom and to ultimately now be surrounded by people who are just proving that over and over and helping you to get this message out on such a greater level of essentially something similar, just broken down in a different, really beautiful way.
Exactly. Thank you, Lacey. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much for tuning into the episode, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, we did. And in case you're not totally ready to join the pathway yet, I wanted to share a few of our free offerings that I'll often suggest to people as a little bit of a blueprint to get them started on their manifestation journey. The first place I like to direct people completely for free is The Motivation. You can see it linked below or on our homepage as our testimony library. And it's categorized by different subjects, whether you're calling in career, money, love, wellness, and much more. When you're reading about a member's experience of what they manifested, you're actually seeing to believe and showing your subconscious that that very thing is possible for you. The second place I like to direct people, if you haven't listened to it on this podcast yet, please go back to the episode titled Manifestation 101, where you'll learn the basics of neural manifestation to truly understand this process. So go ahead and check out those free resources, The Motivation and the episode Manifestation 101, all linked below. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.